Welcome back to the program. Is the government willfully stalling bringing home Canadians? Well, maybe it's more complicated, but a new lawsuit says yeah. There's 26 Canadians, people with Canadian passports, in camps in Syria. And some say they're in horrific conditions. Okay? Conditions where you and I would not want to live. Why aren't they coming home? Well, how did they get there? Were they family members of people who left Canada to join ISIS? Well, who are these people? Well, now there's a lawsuit. A lawyer is going to sue the federal government and say, you got to bring back these 26 Canadians. Now, remember, they may have got there because one of their loved ones went to Syria to join ISIS. And now they're stuck in camps. Does Canada have an obligation to bring them home? Let's bring on the lawyer, Lawrence Greenspan, human rights lawyer. He filed the suit. And it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, sir. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Who are these 26 Canadians?
They are 14 children, 8 women, and 4 men. And the women and children are being held and have been held for several years now in detention camps. And the 4 men are being held in prison without having been charged with anything.
Who, how'd they get there? So let's go back here, because you and I know that the relationship or the ties to ISIS is the complicating political factor. And I know rights and politics are different, but what is the tie to ISIS here?
Well, if in the case of the children, there's no tie at all. In the case of the women, they essentially went over to Syria to support their husbands. In the case of the men, the allegations are that, and they're only allegations, they haven't even made it to the point of charges, allegations that they were in some way connected to ISIS. So, I mean, these 26 people are all Canadians, and a certain prime minister famously said that a Canadian is a Canadian is a Canadian. We have women and children who are in a horrid situation in detention camps and have been for years. They're Canadian citizens. The Autonomous Administration of Northeastern Syria, or ANZ, has been begging Canada and every other country to come and take their nationals. And Canada has not been prepared to do anything. They haven't been prepared to make an official request for the repatriation. They haven't been prepared to provide passport equivalent documentation, nor have they been prepared to send a representative from Canada on behalf of our country to repatriate these Canadian citizens.
So some of these guys left Canada, their wives joined them, they fought in ISIS, now they're stuck there, and now they say, we want to come home. What does the law say about foreign fighters? Because, you know, I know the law, but Canada has changed the laws about what our obligations are to foreign fighters.
Well, there's an assumption there that these are foreign fighters.
Well,
if there was evidence that any of the men were involved as foreign fighters as ISIS, then I say charge them and bring them home. Let them stand trial for the offenses that are alleged.
But how do they get evidence against someone from a war zone? That's always been the issue, right?
Oh, well, I don't know. It may be an issue, but we don't keep people in jail arbitrarily because we can't get muster up the evidence. These are Canadian citizens, and if there is some evidence, then that evidence should be used to formulate charges. Bring them home, charge them, let them stand trial. But as opposed to letting them rot in a northeastern Syrian prison, because there is a belief by some people that they may have been somehow involved in ISIS. That certainly doesn't accord with international covenants, international standards, or with our Canadian Charter of Rights.
I'm asking again. I'm not taking a position on this. I'm just asking for Canadians listening, Mr. Greenspan. So they're saying, okay, someone leaves Canada, they join a listed terrorist organization, they bring their wife, they have kids, they lose, and now they're saying Canada's got to fly them home, and now we're in charge of sort of repatriating them from the situation that they put themselves in when they joined a terrorist attack, and we're going to figure out what they did on the battlefield?
Well, we have an entire department within the Department of Justice that is set up to prosecute these exact kind of crimes that take place in other countries by Canadians. We have, as you mentioned in the introduction, we have altered our laws in Canada to be able to prosecute exactly these types of offenses. So if you've got the evidence, bring them home, charge them, put them on trial. But don't continually, year over year, arbitrarily detain them at the same time as Canada and 56 other countries are signing international covenants condemning arbitrary detention. I mean, it's at the very least hypocritical to be a party to these international covenants condemning arbitrary detention, and yet you're allowing Canadian citizens to rot without even being charged in foreign prisons.
I'll just read the law to people. In Canada, in the criminal code, I think it's 83-181, every person who leaves or attempts to leave Canada or attempts to go on board a conveyance with the attempt to leave Canada for the purpose of committing an act or omission outside of Canada that is committed in Canada would be an offense under subsection 83-1, guilty of an indictable offense, 10 years in prison. So that's leaving Canada to participate in the activity of a terrorist group. You can't facilitate, you can't leave, and you're indictable up to 10 years or 14 years, depending on your crime. There's a lot of case law on that. But it doesn't say what our obligations are to the people who may have aided and abetted, the wife, the partner, the kid. Like, what's the obligation of Canada to those people that said, oh, I'm going to go help my husband fight in ISIS? What's our obligation to her? Like, is she charged?
Well, you're asking for an opinion about what is the legal status of women who went over to support. They weren't actually in the battlefield. They didn't actually do anything other than go with their husbands, presumably, or their partners to become involved in whatever way they did in the fight. It's a legal question. It's going to depend on the actual involvement, whether they were actually a party. I mean, we throw around words like party or aiding and abetting, and it's a fair mountain to climb to prove that somebody actually aided and abetted or was a party to a crime. Before you even get to that, you have to charge the individual, presumably the man, with a crime, and that hasn't been done yet. But in the meantime, the man has been sitting in prison. If this were to happen in Canada, it's outrageous.
I know a lot of our listeners are listening, and I just have a minute, but we do have, and you're 100% right, the law says we have an obligation to bring them home and charge. The question is, why are we not? Mr. Greenspan, I wish I had more time with you. I want to continue to follow this. Should we bring them home? Why are we not? We clearly have a legal obligation. What else do we need to do?